Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello once again, everyone. This is Mike Royer welcoming you to another segment of Health Matters here on WVUA and on our website and on the website of the University Medical Center as well. We hope you enjoy our segments. And we're glad to welcome to our segment today Dr. Jared Ellis. Dr. Ellis is an associate professor, director of inpatient residency education in the Department of Family Medicine in the College of Community Health Sciences at the University of Alabama. It's good to see you, doctor. Thanks for joining us. I've had, in my lifetime, 6 or 8 headaches. 5 or 6 of them were self-induced. I know full well why I had them. But I've had friends who have dealt with migraine headaches, and it's nothing to joke about. They are debilitating on all the levels that I've seen. They've been so bad. What percentage, how many of our population deals with them? Is it more common than many of us may think?
Oh, it's very common. More common in women than men, but as much as 20% of the population.
My goodness. The ones that I've witnessed with coworkers, they may end up curled up in the corner of the office or have someone drive them home. They just really can't function at all. Do we know with all of our research and experience what crosses the line from a headache to migraines that cause so much problems? What do you think are some of the factors in that?
Sure. Well, certainly migraines go from mild to severe, and some degree of disability, that is inability to participate in social or occupational or school activities, is part of the definition. But some people do have them very severe, as you mentioned, but some degree of disability is part of the definition. Often people want to lay down or sit in a quiet room and interferes with their activities.
And it's not just in the head. Many get nausea, vomiting, get very sick because of the intense pain, correct?
Sure. Light sensitive, noise sensitive, just irritable.
Yeah. Are there other triggers? Do you think, I think you shared some information with me that there are some food issues that could be a trigger. Tell us about that.
There are numerous triggers. And one of the things that I recommend for my patients is to be very careful to try to identify some of those triggers. Common foods, chocolate, nuts, caffeine, salty snacks, and many others. Even some healthy things like citrus fruits, bananas can be triggers for certain people. Also things you can't help like low barometric pressure, weather fronts coming in.
Yeah.
You have to be alert to those kinds of things.
A sudden change in pressure might be one of those triggers.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about where we are. Not in specific medicines. I'm sure each of your patients are different and you treat each one of them differently. Tell us about the class of prescription drugs that seem to be useful in combating migraine headaches.
Well, there are many different medications that we use. First of all, we talk about medications to get rid of a headache. So when someone gets a headache, they want relief, and some people get relief with medicines like Tylenol and ibuprofen, Aleve, Excedrin migraine, things like that. And if those work, that's fine. There are many prescription medicines that are used, most commonly the triptan medications. They've been around for 20 plus years. I think they came out when I was an intern, so that's a long time ago. And they are very effective for a lot of people. They are prescription medications. They're more cost-effective than they used to be, and they can be very effective for the majority of patients. There's some newer classes of medications called CGRP medications. Some are available in pill form now. They're quite costly, but for select patients, they can be very effective and have a new mechanism of action that can stop migraines for some patients.
Do you need a specialty in medicine for this? Is this your focus, your specialty? I know you know a lot about a lot of subjects, but are more and more physicians focusing on migraine headaches and their causes?
As you mentioned, migraine is a very, very common malady that many patients suffer both from childhood on. And so I think all primary care physicians need to be well versed in taking care of these. Now, some patients are more refractory to the various treatments that we recommend, and many would require seeing a neurologist. And some of the more recent treatments are really more in the realm of a neurologist. And so sometimes we'll need to refer them on.
When you do that, about how many episodes would one of your patients have in a year where you'd go, okay, this is too many, this is happening too often, it's causing you too many problems? Someone gets 1 or 2 a year, may not be an issue, but if it keeps them from going to work many times, that can be a problem. Do you have a threshold you think about with that?
Sure. Well, some people have bad ones, but they're fairly sporadic. And so if we can find a medication that they can take to stop that headache, then that's all that they need. But if they begin to have them more often, maybe several fairly severe ones in a month, or maybe four or so moderate ones in a month, then we would start them on some type of medication on a daily or regular basis to try to reduce the frequency and severity of their headaches. Classically, for years, we've used a number of different medications made for seizures, blood pressure, other things like that, that they would take daily to prevent or reduce the number of headaches. Now we've got some options, including some injections that they can take monthly or so that can reduce them. Often at the point where you're having to move from the daily pills to the monthly injections is about the time I would refer them to a neurologist.
In fact, in the literature you provided to me, and I appreciate you doing that, you did mention older medicines have been around for a long time. I think blood pressure was the first one on that list. Did you find that with someone who was having blood pressure problems and migraine simultaneously? Or did one day some doctor go, well, let's try this. Nothing else is working. How experimental are you in those medicines?
Well, I've been around for a little bit, but a lot of that predates me. But yeah. A lot of the classic blood pressure medicines that have been around for, 30, 40 years have been used for that. Often calcium channel blockers and ACE inhibitors and other similar medicines, along with a number of the seizure medications that have been around for 20 or 30 years have been used for that. I can't speak to the origins of that because that predates me.
I understand. I've known two people who had surgery to correct migraines. You met one of them in the hallway before we began today that had a portion of bone in their nose shaved off because there was pressure pushing against the brain. I thought they were making that up when they told me about it, but is that a procedure that you do occasionally or suggest?
For select patients, they may have a less common or unusual type of presentation that they would need to have something like that done. And one thing I like to tell my patients, the face is part of the head. And so sometimes people with various facial pains that they think are sinus problems may actually be a manifestation of migraine. And they need to consider that that's part of the diagnosis and not a sinus infection.
What do you know? And so what could be misdiagnosed or the patient could say, oh, I've got sinus trouble, when in fact it may be some other form of that. How do you narrow that down? Just by question and answer and knowing your patient?
A careful history.
Yeah. Is this pretty common? I think I began with that. Out of 100 people, would 10 maybe deal with this? Or do you know a number like that?
Probably 10 out of 100 men, probably 20 out of 100 women.
And one follow-up question on that. Why are women more predisposed to migraines than men? Do we know the answer to that?
That might be a hole I don't want to dig into, but I'm sure some hormonal factors play. We do know that women who are of menstrual age tend to have more migraines around their menstrual period, so probably some hormonal factors.
Age a factor?
People tend to have less migraines as they get older. I've not quite gotten to that age, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And we know that around adolescence start to have more headaches, so probably some hormonal things there.
I will make this my last question. For people who have headaches and they think, this is worse than my normal headache, I wonder if I'm getting into that migraine category. I'm sure you start with your doctor, your general practitioner, and they will refer you on to what, a neurologist to try to find preventative measures. Is that what you'd suggest to people listening to this?
If needed. Often your primary care doctor can suggest diagnostic and therapeutic solutions for you, but if it's not effective, then often they can do that.
A headache can put almost anyone out of commission if it's bad enough. So your advice, guidance, and we're learning more about this all the time, so maybe we can continue to do a better job of helping people down the road. I know that's your hope, correct?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Dr. Jared Ellis, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for talking about such an important subject with us on Health Matters. We hope to see you again.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.